Let us bow together in prayer. May the words of my mouth, may the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. This past week, I received an email from my Brazilian friends with whom, as you know, I've often stayed when I'm on vacation and have traveled to Brazil. In fact, the last time I went with Antonio and Claudio to Peru. The email came from Greece. They are presently in Athens, and as they described their sightseeing there, it reminded me of my own trip to Greece several years ago. I remember that I spent an entire week in Athens alone because I was fascinated with the ancient structures there, both ancient statues still preserved, as well as some buildings still standing or ruins to be explored. I never took any transportation around the city. I walked and walked and walked each day from morning until night, accompanied with my little sightseeing book so that I could get translations, particularly for the inscriptions that were carved in stone identifying each piece and often containing a wise saying. There is, of course, a permanency about that which is carved in stone, something which defies change. I've given some thought to how many of our institutions which have been around for a while also have trouble with change because their life, their makeup, their day-by-day practices seem to be set in stone. Let me give you a simple example. I had an appointment with my primary doctor this past Wednesday. I shared with her niece, who was taking current information about me, some things that had been shared with the nurse that has been coming to my house every day. The nurse in the doctor's office referred to the visiting nurse coming to my house as she. And I said, no, he. But that male visiting nurse said he when referring this time to my primary doctor. And I said, no, she. For a long time, the she for one and the he for the other seemed to be carved in stone. When then talking to Dr. Annette, she said, it has happened in your profession also, Tom, but now female pastors. I reminded her, a Roman Catholic, that it hasn't happened yet in her church. It will come, she assured me. Hold her to that. I wonder how long it will take to admit that this restriction on females in the priesthood is not carved in stone. There already has been a change made regarding married priests, originally ordained in the Episcopal Church, but now serving as Roman Catholic priests. Well, let me give you another example of something carved in stone. Ted Warlow, the former pastor of the Setauket Presbyterian Church in Setauket, a friend and a colleague who is today the president of Austin Theological Seminary in Austin, Texas, tells of being at the General Assembly in Pittsburgh last year. And while there, he made a point to visit First Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh. Ted loves looking at old churches, even as I do. And as he describes his visit, he writes, quote, on that particular night with the clear sky and perfect weather, that old church with its twin spires rising up to heaven practically took my breath away. It sits, not surprisingly, next to the Episcopal Cathedral, so that those two Gothic piles stand there as occupants of the catbird seat that Presbyterians and Episcopalians and other mainliners once enjoyed across a great span of American history. When that church was built, writes Ted, the congregation imagined, as I am sure, that people would flock to that place in the middle of the city forever. And so they built it in grand style. They may also imagine that the rhythm of church life would be so uncontested for time immemorial, they could even carve the hours of Sunday morning worship prominently in the church's facade. And then Ted comments, what would we dare suggest in these days as a timeless and unchanging commitment that we could risk carving in stone? In that book of Deuteronomy, in the book of Exodus, there's the story of Moses conversing with God, and there on Mount Sinai receiving two tablets of stone on which were inscribed the Ten Commandments. You may remember that when Moses came down off that mount and saw that the people had made for themselves a golden calf, which they were then worshiping and dancing around it, he, to quote Exodus 32:19, Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hand, and he broke them. End of quote. And God then called Moses to climb up that mountain again a second time, and God did the inscribing all over again. Yes, carved and sewn, but subject to breakage, as was each of the commandments inscribed on those tablets. The people were taught, and they were to teach their children, the commandments in such a way that they would be written on their heart, thus more permanent, thus more internal than external, thereby truly defining who they were and whose they were. Now, of course, laws always need interpretation, and that interpretation is subject to changing circumstances over the course of time. So in a real sense, those Ten Commandments are not written in stone. Over the years and over the generations and now 20 centuries, scribes and then later rabbis expanded on them and applied them to the present situation. What then can we say is set in concrete, that is, of a lasting nature? And our Old Testament lesson for today from the 7th chapter of Deuteronomy, which Pharaoh read for us, says in verse 6, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for his treasured possession. And let me now quote, it is because the Lord loves you and is keeping the oath he swore to your fathers. End of quote. You see, that's the permanent. That is what is set in concrete. No matter what transpires through the years and through the centuries, that is the very foundation of our faith. What we have come to speak of as God's relentless and steadfast love. The Bible is the story of God's undeserved, gracious, generous love. As the story of salvation develops through the Bible, this love of God is referred to in various terms, but the main one in Hebrew is the word hesed. The entire history of God's relationship with Israel and of the message of Jesus Christ can be summarized in that one word, that term, hesed. Hesed is what is set in stone. That is what needs to be inscribed not only in our places of worship, not only in our changing creeds, our changing statements of faith and theology. Most importantly, that needs to be inscribed in our hearts and personal experience. God's steadfast love. The consistent, the ever faithful, the relentless, the constantly pursuing, the lavish, the extravagant, the unrestrained love of God. The verses that Pharaoh then read from the 8th chapter of Romans offers us the greatest affirmation in all of Scripture. It was written in terms of the challenges that the Apostle Paul experienced in his day. But it could be updated. It could be stated in terms of the challenges of our day. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall any illness we carry in our bodies? Famine? Nakedness? Peril? Sword? No, in all these things, we're really more than conquerors through Him who loved us. Here is that great affirmation. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor things present, whatever they might be, nor things to come, those things we worry about fruitlessly, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Reverend George Matheson, a pastor of a church not far from Glasgow, Scotland, wrote the words of a hymn back in 1882 on the day of his sister's wedding. As background to the words of that hymn, he wrote, quote, "Something had happened to me which was known only to myself and would cause me the most severe mental suffering." The hymn was the fruit of that suffering, end of quote. Matheson's friends speculated that in his childhood, psychological disturbances had caused his hysteria of blindness. A girl with whom he was in love jilted him when she realized he was going blind. And that rejection led to his never getting married. And now, on the day of his sister being married, he was alone at home. That personal suffering led to a spiritual experience. And he penned these beautiful words, which is now contained in hymn number 384 in our hymnal, if you care to look at it, hymn number 384. O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary soul in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, that in thine ocean depths its flow may richer be. Stanza 3. O joy that seekest me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain and feel the promise is not in vain, that morn shall tearless be. Yes, for George Matheson, that was set in stone. Hesed, God's steadfast love, which cannot be destroyed or taken from you, no matter what one experiences during a lifetime. Amen. Let us pray. Oh God, may it be more than just words. May it be experienced in the very depths of our being. Your steadfast love, offering us what is most needed when pain or loss or deep questioning confound us. Amen.